Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together. Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to bring you on a musical journey from Portaferry to East Clare and from County Cork to Galway, featuring just some of the amazing singers and musicians who performed live for us in studio. As always, we'd love to hear from you. You can email miriam at rt.ie. You can find me on Instagram at instmiriam. And remember, you can always listen back to the show on the RT Radio app. Ryan McMullen dropped into Studio 8 as he prepared to tour his album Redesign and chatted about sharing the stage with Snow Patrol and writing songs with Ed Sheeran.
I was on tour with Ed and, you know, if you know what he's like, there's no days off with Ed. So we were playing in London, I think it was 3 nights in the O2 Arena or something, one of the big ones, and we had a day off between. And he said, oh, do you want to come with me? I'm going to write this song for a movie. And I initially was kind of going, well, I don't really want to go and watch you write a song for a movie, you know. Well, although, to be fair, being a fan, though, would have been nice. But what he meant was, do you want to come and co-write this song? So I was like, oh, cool, this is really cool. And so the next day we're walking down the street in London and it's like this dingy street. And it's kind of how London is with the studios. It's a real dingy street. And then you see this cool door and then you open it and it's this gorgeous studio. So we get into it and they have rushes for this movie, which... was an Irish independent movie with Cillian Murphy and Andrew Scott and stuff. And yeah, just we got these rushes and we had to write while watching it kind of stuff. And I was playing this guitar and it was just really nice. And then the producer was like, do you like that guitar? And I was like, yeah, it just sounds really good. And he was like, yeah, it used to be Johnny Cash's.
Wow.
It basically was one of the black Gibsons. And it, yeah, you would just recognize it straight away, you know. So yeah, wrote a song with Ed for a movie with Cillian Murphy on a guitar, once owned by Johnny Cash.
What a great story. Yeah. And of course, part of that, and I mentioned in the intro, is, you know, there was a lot of celebrity stuff that has surrounded you for years. Did you find some of that a bit overwhelming? I know you wrote at one stage about drowning in it a bit. Mm.
Yeah, it feels like I'm drowning in all my famous friends. It was more just a thing of, I'm very lucky to know these incredibly talented people. And to have their support in what I do, but it kind of always felt like there was an expectation on me to kind of reach that sort of height. And the truth was, I just didn't really know where I stood with it all. I didn't know whether I wanted any of that or if I was capable of that. And even if I was, would I be comfortable with it? So it's weird because I don't see them as the who they are kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but I totally understand, you know, who they are. So yeah, for part of my time, it was like, I wish people would just call me Ryan and not Ed Sheeran's friend Ryan, you know, that kind of stuff. But as I've gotten older with it all, I'm super proud to know these people and have their support and stuff. So yeah, I'm a little less insecure about it all now. I'm a bit more flattered by it.
Yeah, and it's a tribute to your talent that they all recognise it as well. And actually, we had Paul Brady on our show. I know you have credited him before as an influence, a big influence in you. Who else would you count as an influence?
Paul Brady's the man, isn't he? Just, yeah. There's so many. I mean, the first band I fell in love with was Thin Lizzy, my dad's favourite band. And then, you know, through listening to them, I found Paul Rodgers of Free. And then after Paul Rodgers, it turned into Queen. And then Queen turned into the Beatles, Stevie Wonder. And then, you know, oh, well, actually then Snow Patrol was the next one, to be fair. And then found this guy called Foy Vance again. And then Paul Brady. And it all kind of just turned into this melting pot of, there's so much inspiration out there. Mm. But, and my mum, to be fair, you should hear my mum sing. She's a chanter. So,
which is great. Yeah. And your dad sings in the Portaferry Hotel,
yeah,
doesn't
he? Yeah, he sings in there. Yeah, he doesn't sing any of my songs though, but he does the best yes. version of Grace that I know. So if you ever want to hear Grace sung the best way, Portaferry Hotel, Friday nights.
That's so good. So you are always going to be a great singer between your mum and your dad. Mm. And you're going to sing for us again this morning. Thanks a million for being my guest,
yeah,
Ryan.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
This is Static.
One, two, three.
inside my mind. I've felt it all before, but I feel it's time. And I'm burning up, I'm calling out. I've heard enough, and I have no doubt. There's something going on inside.
The wonderful Ryan McMullen there performing Static for us. The Trad Titans Bioga were back after some solo projects with their new album Phases. Niamh Dunn, Eamon Murray, Sean O'Graham, Damian McKee and Liam Bradley all joined us. And Niamh told me about the song they performed called Anne Bonny and how the woman in that song was a female pirate who dressed in men's clothes and took to the high seas.
She was, yeah. So there are very few female pirates on record in history, and she's one of them. And actually, the most of the women female pirates are Irish. So whatever that says about us as a nation, I'm not too sure. But I thought she deserved a song. I think her story is fascinating. And she dressed in men's clothes and took to the high seas. And yeah, she was an amazing woman. And there's a line in the chorus about the passing bell, which is the bell that would be rung to symbolise or to signal who was to be hung on the gallows. So yeah, it's quite dark, you know. But she managed to escape the gallows anyway because she was pregnant. So she was a wily woman. She was
good,
an incredible woman.
Yeah, great. And a great song. Your new album is out now and it's called Phases. It's a really fine piece of work. Well done. This is Anne Bonny. Brian and Dermot McLean of Ye Vagabonds brought their fantastic harmonies into us. They told us how the beautiful sound of the sibling harmony vocals came from their musical family and was honed from their experiences busking on the streets of Carlow.
The old blood harmony.
Yeah, we're lucky that way. It's very easy. I think it always kind of came easy to us.
Yeah, I don't think we can take credit for being siblings. I think that's just, yeah.
Yeah, but singing that nicely, yeah. Singing that well together, though, you can.
Mm. Oh, we've been at it a while as well. I suppose we've known each other a long time. And so, yeah, we used to sing together a fair bit as a family. And, myself and Breen kind of started singing together when we were in our late teens or something.
We did a lot of singing on the street in Carlow. We busked a lot. And so I think once we figured out that the harmony thing kind of worked, we just... We learned everything with harmonies in it, all the Everly Brothers and Simon and Garfunkel and anything, really. A lot of old American music and anything that
had harmonies. Realized we had that. If we had that one thing that we would just try and, you know, milk it for all it was worth. So everything, whether it was, we had kind of a fairly diverse like mixture of things that we used to play. It could be the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Mark Bolan, or it could be, you know, more traditional like American Appalachian stuff or Irish traditional stuff.
Yeah. You know, it carries very well in open spaces. So when you're singing on the street, harmonies carry a lot further than just one voice. So it kind
of, it's beautiful. I'm lucky to have interviewed you before, but for people who don't know, tell me about where you grew up and where your musical influences came from. Are your parents musical? Was it a musical house?
Yeah, like a creative house, I'd say, sure. More so than even just musical. Our parents would have met through Irish language theatre, amateur theatre, and they would have met in Dublin. And then they relocated to Carlow, where they started an Irish language theatre group. And we were always involved in kind of creative things. Our parents would rope us sometimes into the shows, and it'd be usually in singing roles. The whole family, definitely, we all played and sang a bit together.
All our sisters sing and play. And also, I think the that whole crew of the acting crew that Mam and Dad would hang out with, they'd all end up back in our house, like singing songs and playing tunes after things. So we were kind of just around it all.
But great, I feel, sessions.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, when you're around a scene like that, you kind of want to have something to do. You want to have some way of getting involved. So it's good social currency to kind of have a couple of songs to be able to step into the sing-song a bit.
So luckily you're going to play again for us now, and this is Mayfly.
Long after midnight, crossed in the lamplight, pouring out a distillation of hope and desperation, she was grey-eyed. I was tongue-tied. When she thought I wasn't looking, she'd smile like she had nothing left to hide.
We'll take a short break. You're very welcome back. We were delighted to have Liam O'Connor and Cormac Begley in Studio 8 earlier in the year. They chatted about their collaboration album, Into the Loam, a somewhat darker sound to some of the songs recorded.
We play different instruments. I play bass and baritone, treble concertinas and piccolos. And Liam plays viola and fiddle. So we're looking at tunes that kind of resonate with us and our different temperaments, and that were suitable to our respective instruments. And Liam comes from a great tradition of musicians and a huge repertoire of tunes, and even the access to the ITMA, the Irish Traditional Music Archive, and we source a few tunes there. And we tried a lot of different takes and learned a lot of tunes, and we kind of distilled it down to the tracks on the album.
Yeah, we wanted to get a balance between kind of darker sounding things and then some more lighter, brighter tunes. So it's going to move from dark to light, across the album. You know, and that the title Into the Loam actually was an expression one of your former colleagues here, Tony McMahon, had. He was describing Cormac's music as it's going into the loam, and it was just an expression that kind of stuck.
What does he mean by that?
I think it meant like kind of burrowing deeper into a kind of inertiness or grittiness. So maybe in that Ryan's rant, you know, would have given us I suppose a verbal green light to go musically, take more chances and to go into maybe the subconscious and a darker sound, you know.
We're all influenced by everybody we've played with or met, and often when you're playing, you can, well, I try and connect to the meaning of the tune. Like, these tunes go back hundreds of years and have had personal meanings for everybody who's played them. And you're trying to connect the meaning of that tune to your own lived experience, your experiences, and to be honest, as honest as you can with that. But going into the loam or into the subconscious, you're I think of my uncles, I think of my aunties, I think of my father, and generation stories about people in the past, lots of musicians, young and old, that I sat down and played with. And that all influences every musical decision you make when you're playing.
This is Ryan's Rant.
Liam O'Connor and Cormac Begley performing Ryan's Rant from their collaboration album, Into the Loam.
Well, Ireland's country superstar, Derek Ryan, had been writing songs in Nashville, but was back to tell me all about it and sang a song called The Flower. He wrote the song about his mother, Sally, who passed away a number of years ago. And he told me how people really relate to it when he performs it.
My mum, Sally, passed away 7 years ago on the 9th of July. Yeah, so I wrote the song. I wrote quite a few songs in tribute to her. This one is probably more reflecting back after a good period of time, you know, and that's why I think a lot of people could relate to it, because it never really, I suppose, goes away. You know, it's like she passed away yesterday. You know, so and you know, we all know we've only one mammy. You know,
were you close?
Yeah, we're very close. I think, you know, I was the youngest in the house, so I was the baby. And I left for London. I moved to London to join a boy band when I was just about 18. And so looking back, I think that was. You know, I thought, you know, I remember she dropped me off at the bus in Dublin and she was very upset. And I couldn't understand why, because I was thinking, this is such an amazing opportunity. And now looking back now, I'm like, I can understand completely why it was so upsetting. But we were very, very close. Yeah. So that was 2018 she passed away. Yeah.
But look, in terms of the music, we spoke before when I interviewed you about, you know, you breaking the mold a little bit. Mm. And that was about collaborating outside of Irish country music. Mm. You like to test yourself a bit, though, don't you, Derek? I mean, where does that come from, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, you're always kind of learning with any craft. You know, you're never done. You know, I sometimes I wouldn't even call myself a songwriter, to be honest. You know, I just sit down and whatever I come up with, you know, you're always working with Trent in Nashville or any writers, you know, you're educating yourself all the time. And I love collaborating. I love writing with loads of different people. And then you can take nuggets of every experience and everyone you meet and bring it into your own music. Or, you know, I've recently started working with a lot of other acts, you know, and kind of, I suppose, passing it on in a way and getting to that age and at that stage of my career. I'm working with bands like the Tumbling Paddies and we're writing together and producing for them at home. So even from a production point of view, I learned a lot from working with Trent and I have a studio at home. And, you know, so you take it all back and you know, I've always been like that, though, even when, you know, I started gigging when I was 12, believe it or not. So I've always been watching and learning, you know.
Yeah, which is great. And the Tumbling Paddies, they're great guys.
Oh, they're flying. Yeah. Great lads. Yeah, and I'm living up in Fermanagh now. I'm originally from Carlow, but so they're neighbours of mine and they're just flying the flag for Fermanagh. They're absolutely fantastic lads, very humble and very successful and talented and working hard. So fair play to them.
And now you're going to sing for us that beautiful song in honour of your mum, Sally, The Flower.
There's a flower in the garden. You once told me its name. Two little leaves of just 10 years, they all sound the same.
A beautiful song called The Flower, written and performed by Derek Ryan about his late mother Sally. Well, Zoe Basha is the wonderful type of cosmopolitan artist we're lucky enough to attract here. Zoe grew up in France and Miami and told the tale of how she ended up living in Ireland making her music and performed her own composition, Dublin Street Corners.
When I was 19, I'd dropped out of music school and I'd been traveling and playing music in the street, and I had started playing fiddle, and this was after Occupy Wall Street had ended. And so I kind of wanted to leave the States and spend some time in other places. I found a work trade in Dingle for a month. So I went to Dingle.
Beautiful Dingle.
Beautiful Dingle. And it was February 2012. So I didn't know, there weren't a lot of people coming through. But I ended up meeting a nice few people that took me to a pub. And then we started going to that same pub. It was O'Sullivan's Courthouse Pub. And we spent most of our nights there. And then I was going to leave to keep traveling, but I was passing through Dublin. And on the way in Dublin, I went to Shomer Spree, which was an anarchist social center that was running for a good few years. And I got totally sucked into Dublin life and stayed.
Well, it's our benefit that you did stay here. And you tie together a lot of different types of music, don't you? I suppose from jazz to Appalachian
Is there an Irish influence there too, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I sing a lot of traditional music, and in traditional songs, I'm particularly excited about songs that have made it over the ocean and back. And so the traditional singing that I do is often a mixture of Appalachian singing, Irish traditional singing, and then it has some Occitan influence, which is traditional music from the south of France.
Now, I gather you're a pretty nifty carpenter too. Is that something you learned in France?
Yeah. I think I started when I was in Ireland, we were fixing up a lot of houses. And when I moved to France, I was living on a land project with buildings that had collapsed roofs. So we started repairing those buildings and I realized how much I enjoyed it. So then I studied traditional French timber framing and then moved around in a van across France and went from job site to job site working as a timber framer.
It's a great skill to have. Now, you've written a few of the songs on this album, Zoe. Talk to me about some of the themes, I suppose, that surface in your songs.
Heartbreak, drama. there's a lot. It's interesting because the songs that I've written on there, one of the songs, I started writing it when I was 18. I finished when I was 27. And then the last song I wrote, I finished it last year. So it's spanned a good few years and it's a sort of interesting timeline of my relationship to intimacy, my relationship to social dynamics, my kind of perspective and sort of lens of life and how that shifted over time.
This is one of your own songs and it's really lovely. This is Dublin Street Corners. The fantastic French singer-songwriter Zoe Bacha and her musical tale of Dublin Street Corners. We'll take a short break. You're very welcome back. Well, Mick Flannery, he's no stranger to the Irish music scene, and it was wonderful to be able to hear him perform and chat earlier in the year. I asked him how a song like Evening Train, which he wrote when he was barely in his 20s, could sound so mature, and what he thinks of them now.
Well, I'm glad they have a little bit of maturity at least, because I'm banking on them now again. Yeah, at the time I felt like I didn't have a lot of authority for like songwriting. I had no life experience. So I just decided to make up a story so that I could have characters to inhabit and just write from their point of view. So I could distance myself a little bit and just say, well, I didn't say that, they said it, kind of thing. I still play some of the songs at gigs, you know, they've kind of carried on. I guess a lot of it is naivety. It's like there's a lovely naivety that I've probably lost a lot of over the years. When it comes to music, like ignorance is probably a good thing, you know, because you find yourself doing odd things that once you've learned all the structures and all the theory stuff, you don't do much odd stuff anymore. You stick to more patterns and stuff. You know, I'm jealous of young people like that don't know what the chords are yet. Do you know?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to not to know again.
That's so interesting. And when you were writing, you know, Evening Train, as you say, you came up with the narratives. You have these two characters in the songs, two brothers, and there are parts of you in each of them, aren't there? So, you, in a sense, you could write a little bit about yourself, but not really.
Yeah. There's a shy guy and there's a kind of a wild enough fella, do you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose it's like, what does the girl next door like more is the question, do you know?
Have you found out the answer to that yet?
It's always a bit of both,
yeah.
I find, yeah, for most things in life, yeah. You know? Yeah. You can't just be cocky and you can't just be humble.
You're incredibly gentle. We were all saying that when you were coming in. Just you just got an incredibly gentle way about you and a gentle way of singing. Is that something that's just innate, or are you now conscious of it and keep that who you are?
I don't know. I suppose it comes from my parents, I suppose, just from the way we were brought up. They were both, like, our accents are not, you know, massively strong because our mother didn't have a strong accent and our father had no kind of accent at all. He was moved around a lot when he was young, so he didn't gather any brogue along the way. So then that's how we ended up. If we get a bit excited, the Cork comes out a bit more, I think. So I'm told.
What part of Cork did you grow up? Remind me.
Grew up outside Blarney. Nice place to grow up.
Do you like going back there? You told me already, you live in Ennis Diamond,
I live in Ennis Diamond, yeah. I like going back. I have, how many brothers? Three brothers living in, well, two of them are constantly in Cork and one of them is often in Cork. So go back there to
see them all.
Yeah, yeah, see the nieces.
You have children yourself?
Yeah, yeah. I have three kids, 16, 3.5 and 9 months.
9 months, wow. So is the baby a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Does she sleep?
She sleeps sometimes. It's up to her. She's in control of everything that we do.
Absolutely. Yeah. But when I was listening to you singing there, that first song, it's almost like a lullaby. Do you sing her to sleep?
I used to sing songs to my son, but I was told to stop. Because I was choosing, I used to sing Kilkelly Ireland to him. Do you know that song?
No, have a go.
It's like 6 verses long, all these letters of a father to an emigrated son in America. It's the saddest song you'll ever imagine. And even though my son wouldn't have understood what the content was, my brothers told me I was psychologically torturing him by just giving him this deep famine misery every night before he fell asleep.
So you had to stop it.
Yeah, yeah. So I just walked him around in silence.
This is Mick Flannery and Evening Train.
I took my brother's favorite bait and I led him to a trap. And he took the dearest evening train, now he's never coming back.
The ever-talented Mick Flannery and Evening Train. Well, today's programme was produced by Ciarán O'Byrne and the series producer is Deirdre Neiline. And we finish with the beautiful singing and speaking voice that belongs to Danny Larkham. We had a lovely chat and she smiled when I asked her about the townland between Armagh and Monaghan where she grew up.
It's such a privilege to be asked the townland, you know. I would say my townland is Madden, which is just on the northern side of the border. But my father's townland, where my family live now, is in Bracca, just on the southern side of that. So it's definitely a between worlds upbringing, you know, and a privilege as well, you know. Yeah.
Big influence in terms of on you musically?
Absolutely. I mean, my mother's family are all really musical. My granddad played in the show bands. He still plays the trombone. Oh. I mean, I tried to learn the trombone. I can't play it. It's a very difficult instrument. So, you know, such a big part of how we communicated and related to each other was through music on my mom's side of the family. And I think it's really important to say with that as well, you know, it's not prescriptive. It wasn't traditional or folk. It was just encouraged. Whatever we wanted to play or share or communicate was encouraged. And I think that's really important starting out as a, you know, 5 or 6 year old songwriter, Miriam.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, music was just always part of your life then. And I know you picked up the guitar
When did you yourself, though, start to perform?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It wasn't until my late teens, really. And my mum says I'm a poet first, so I have to believe her, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think I was writing lyrics and the words always kind of come first for me. And that still informs my songwriting process even now. So those words come first and then, you know, the songs kind of filtered through after. And I think growing up somewhere where, you know, some of my family played trad, some played blues, you know, some of us wrote poetry, all of that kind of blends in together. And then I found my voice from there, really.
And you have a beautiful voice. A lot of people mention your voice, the tone of it. When you get that kind of recognition, does that make you feel very confident in your own voice?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question. You know, I almost take my voice for granted because it's just always been there. But what I can say is, especially on this tour that I'm on, the Full Circle tour, I've really been playing and with the idea of what my voice can do. You know, I think when you start out in a career, you know, we all start out maybe doing open mics or busking or whatever, and the focus is on projecting your voice or being heard above, you know, many other things besides. But now that I'm kind of settled into, you know, touring cycle and releasing work and all that comes with that, I can really, you know, lean into those delicacies, those contours, that almost whisper aspect that my voice has as well. And I'm really enjoying that this tour.
Yeah, it's a beautiful voice. This is your song, Come Home to Me.
Forgive me, my friend. I know not my creed.
And Miriam will return next Sunday with some of her most fascinating interviews from 2025, including US comedian Rosie O'Donnell, the late Julian Benson, and Brendan Gleeson.